humans tend to get in our own way time and time again, whether it comes to not speaking up for ourselves, going back to bad romantic partners, dieting for the umpteenth try, or acting on any range of bad habits that we just can't seem to shake. In his new book, Rewire, psychotherapist Richard O'Connor looks to exactly why our bad habits die so hard. He says we have two brains, one a thoughtful, conscious, deliberative self, and the other an automatic self that makes most of our decisions without our attention. He believes that using new research and knowledge about how the brain works, it can clear a path to lasting, effective change for behaviors that we indeed want to change. It's a great pleasure to welcome Dr. Richard O'Connor to the roundtable this morning.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
What brought you to this idea of rewiring and ultimately the idea of change and what we can do when it comes to our brains?
Well, I've been a therapist for a long time, and one of the major problems I'm constantly running into, and my colleagues run into too, is that of bad habits and self-destructive behavior. I think that really self-destructive behavior probably accounts for like something like 80% of unnecessary human suffering. It's the kind of thing where we know what we ought to do, but we just can't bring ourselves to do it. So I've been reading in the new neuroscience and in a lot of Daniel Kahneman's book, Thinking Fast and Slow, and new psychology research. Conclusion is that we have two brains that don't communicate very well. We have a conscious self that is the thinking mind. It's who we think of when we think of ourselves. And it's good at reasoning things out, and it can weigh alternatives and make deliberate decisions. But it has the handicap of only being able to focus on one thing at a time. And meanwhile, in the background, our unconscious mind is making 99% of our life decisions for us. I call it the automatic self. It makes decisions before we're even aware of making decisions. It's guided by habits, motives, and prejudices and assumptions that we're not even aware of. Our unique frames of reference that are not necessarily in sync with reality, old habits of doing things in a particular way, feelings that we try to deny. And once that automatic self has developed a self-destructive habit, it's very hard to change. The automatic self doesn't learn from the conscious self. And that's, you know, that's been the problem with insight in psychotherapy for years. We used to believe that once the patient understood what he was doing to himself, then he'd be cured, he'd be free, he'd be able to stop it. But it just doesn't work that way. So the new neuroscience is telling us that if we want to change the automatic self, we have to practice. The slogan is that neurons that wire together, fire together. So if we can just bring ourselves to practice good habits to replace bad habits, it will become easier over time to continue those good habits, and the old bad habits, the self-destructive habits, will fall into disuse.
Back to what your original point is of how hard it is to do, and that brings up the practice aspect of it. So what has to go into that practice, which ultimately, I assume, means determination?
Well, determination, self-control, willpower. There's been a lot of research on willpower recently. There's hopeful news there. Willpower is not a trait that you're either born with or without. It's a skill that you can learn with practice. And the more we practice, say, for instance, resisting temptation, the easier it gets. And the more you practice resisting temptation in one area of your life, it kind of spreads out so that you become better at self-control in other areas of your life, too. There was one experiment that I loved that had two groups of volunteers. One had to sit in a room for half an hour doing nothing. The other had to sit in a room for half an hour with the smell of baking cookies. They tested both groups afterwards and found that the groups who had to sit there with the smell of baking cookies were much quicker to give up on difficult mathematical problems than the group who had just had to sit there for half an hour. They had temporarily drained their willpower. And that's one of the lessons of the new research, is that willpower can be temporarily drained, but it regenerates itself. We start out fresh the next day. So when you've had enough temptation, when you've been having a hard time and losing the battle, go home and go to bed and recharge your batteries and try again tomorrow, and chances are you'll have better luck.
Now, realizing that the battle lasts more than a day, and that if you were trying to do something of quitting smoking or to diet or to control your weight or whatever the case may be, that this is something that you're in for the long haul. So it can't be a stop and start approach. So give me an example of how we can rewire and ultimately overcome the self-destructive behavior, and also overcome something that you write about extensively in the book, and that is procrastination, of putting off the inevitable.
First of all, it's important to realize that the brain research does emphasize that this is a long-haul battle. And, you know, in dieting, for instance, we expect to lose, 5 or 10 pounds in the first month. And if that doesn't happen, we get discouraged and give up. We're much better off to forget about dieting. Dieting doesn't work. It resets your hunger mechanism so that your body goes into starvation when you're eating fewer calories. We're much better off to reframe it as learning to eat right. And the research on the brain shows that it really can take up to a year or so for the new brain circuits to wire themselves in place so that it becomes easier to withstand temptation. Instead of going on a crash diet, think of, I'm going to take a year and get myself in shape and learn to eat healthily and sensibly.
You write in the book a lot about anxiety. What is the prevalence of anxiety when we're talking about these issues of overcoming self-destructive behavior and rewiring and changing our brains?
You know, I'm a psychodynamic therapist. I still believe in some old Freudian principles, and I do believe that underneath much of self-destructive behavior is fear. Fear of success, or fear of getting what we want, or fear that if we get what we want, it won't turn out to be the thing we need. So part of self-destructive behavior is self-sabotage, to keep us from having to face those kinds of disappointments. Fear is a very, very basic element in most kinds of bad habits. And I think the thing to do is really to learn mindfulness. I emphasize that in several places in the book, to learn the mindfulness-based approach, practice mindfulness meditation, get your brain clear so that it's not running on automatic pilot, but you are able to sit with yourself and see yourself objectively, with compassion and curiosity, and ask yourself, why did I just do that stupid thing? Why did I just do that self-destructive thing? And the answer you're going to find very often is some sort of suppressed emotion, usually fear, sometimes anger, sometimes shame. And then learn to face the emotion. Learn to face the fear. Fear doesn't hurt, you know, it's not going to kill you. All our emotions are just as natural as having toenails. We're taught that emotions are dangerous or bad or shameful, but that's simply not true. They're just part of being human. So if we can learn to accept ourselves as we are, with some faults and foibles and fears and guilt, we won't be nearly so self-destructive. We won't have a need to act out to hurt ourselves. We can be much closer to being who we want to be.
Does that
make sense, Joe?
It does make sense, although in reading the book, I did wonder about the idea of that self-analysis of coming to an understanding of what the self-destructive behavior is and saying, okay, well, this is why I want to quit smoking. This is why I want to lose weight. And I'm with you there. But going a step further and then conquering whether that is fear or shame seems like a much larger battle to have and something that perhaps cannot be, A, done alone, and B, has to be tackled as a whole before you start going to the other symptoms, which are why you're overeating or why you're smoking or whatever the case may be.
That's one of the reasons why I, you know, in the book, there are sort of 11 scenarios of self-destructive behavior. I was trying to give people a hint that they might recognize themselves in one of my scenarios, like self-hate is one, like careless thinking is another one, just, you know, letting the automatic self do our thinking for us. Dealing with addiction is another, or feeling brainwashed and burnt out is yet another. They're meant to be guideposts for the reader to say, well, that sounds like me. Maybe I should focus on this chapter and think about, you know, what he's got to say here. And I try to give a little exercise at the end of each chapter so that the reader can learn more about himself, learn more about what's going on, and in particular in regard to this particular pattern of behavior.
When it comes to those larger issues of what is causing that self-destructive behavior, the fear and the shame and the hatred that you may have for yourself, that seems to be something that again, is a major issue. And is something that has to be dealt with. And also I think that you allude to this in the book, but sometimes these issues become so big that we avoid them because they're so big.
Yes. And our minds are very, very good at distracting ourselves from realizing what we're doing. You know, we're so good at rationalizing and compartmentalizing and just not seeing the consequences of what we're doing, that it can be very, very difficult. I think that many, many people with self-destructive behavior could really use a little help in seeing themselves more objectively. You know, some psychotherapy, a psychotherapy group, a good spouse, listening to your good friends or giving your friends permission to tell you the truth about yourself, you know? Seeing ourselves as others see us. That can be a sobering lesson.
When it comes to the new research that you talked about and what we know now and the new science that is coming out, where should our optimism lie with that?
Well, I think a couple of things. One is the good new news is that the brain is a plastic instrument. It changes in regard to our experience. I told the story of the Yugoslav researchers who had students learn to juggle, practice juggling for 3 months. And after 3 months of juggling, the researchers were able to see growth in certain areas of the brain using some of the new specialized instruments that we have. And then had them stop juggling for 3 months, and they could see that growth disappeared. So I think that's an analogy for bad habits. If we indulge them, if we let ourselves practice them, they're going to take over our brains. But if we can stop, the good news is that the brain will rewire itself and find alternative ways of coping and getting what we want. So that's one hopeful sign. It takes longer than we think it's going to do. We have to practice consistently, but it's possible to change the way our brain is wired. And that's huge news, you know? T- 10 years ago, we thought that the wiring of the brain was laid down in childhood, and it was immutable, untouchable. That's all changed now. We know we can affect our brains. The trouble is, with self-destructive behavior, we don't usually learn from experience because we, you know, made a mistake, I won't do that again. We don't usually learn that because we have so many ways of kidding ourselves. That was somebody else's fault. I'll be smarter next time, except I forget to be smarter next time. But what I'm trying to lay out in this book is a way of sort of mindful, guided practice that will enable you to learn from experience, to see how this kind of behavior pattern is no good for you, and you have to learn how to control it, and to give you alternative ways of coping so that you can get what you want without being self-destructive about it.
Well, the name of the book is Rewire, Change Your Brain, Break Bad Habits, Overcome Addictions, Conquer Self-Destructive Behavior. It is published by Hudson Street Press. Richard O'Connor, I thank you very much for being with us this morning and sharing your expertise.
Well, thank you, Joe. It's a pleasure.
Again, the title of the book is Rewire. It is published by Hudson Street Press. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.